Hi, friends. It's good to be here again, and very excited to be coming back after some time. As I mentioned before, it's been 18 years since I first stepped into this church, and I came in here. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything about church or about God. I just remember coming in through that door, and the music was just amazing. And I thought, far out, this is the most wonderful karaoke session I've ever been to. I thought, far out, this is where I belong. But anyway, look, when Ying invited me back here, it really got me thinking about what an impact this church has had on me. Because it was right here on one Sunday in 2001, I still remember I was sitting over here. That was the first time that I heard God speak to me through the Bible, and that was the night I decided that I was going to follow Jesus and hand my life over to Him. And you know, my parents-in-law, they used to come to this service for many, many years, and they'd come week in, week out, and every time I spoke to them, what they loved most was the fact that God's word was preached, and they felt like God spoke to them every time. And it's true, right? Whenever we open this, whenever we open the Bible, God is speaking to us, isn't He? And He changes lives when we hear His word. And I believe that's what He's going to do today. And I believe that He wants that for all of you as well. I'm sure some of you are feeling tired. It's the end of the year. But I know that when we open His word and when we pray, as Jeanette prayed, that God's Spirit will work in our hearts. He will do something amazing. So friends, please do keep your Bibles open. I'm going to pray again now that God will help us do that. Shall we pray? Let's do it. Father God, we thank You that You speak to us. And we just pray that You open our hearts and our minds to hear Your voice and then change us for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, it's Friday morning in the middle of rush hour. Can you picture that? And a man turns up in a train station. He's dressed pretty casually. He's dressed in jeans. He's got a baseball cap on. And he pulls out his violin, right? And he begins to play over the next 40 minutes or so. What happens? Well, there's 1,097 people that pass by. And all of them, they're on their way to work. They're rushing. They've got a quick choice to make, don't they? Do they stop and do they listen for a few minutes? Do they throw in a few coins just to acknowledge the man who's playing? Or do they just ignore it? You see, friends, that man was a world-renowned international violinist, Joshua Bell. And he was standing in the middle of a subway station in Washington, D.C., playing what? 6 masterpieces that had been performed throughout the world in cathedrals and in concert halls on one of the world's most expensive violins, a Stradivarius. And you see, that performance was actually connected with an experiment that the local newspaper was running. And that experiment was to answer this question. Listen up. In an ordinary setting, at an inconvenient time, would beauty transcend? Would it? Well, apparently not. Because of the 1,097 people that passed by, only 7... So not very many. So only 7 stopped to listen for more than a minute. 27 gave money for a grand total of, would you believe it? Can you have a guess? $32 plus change. $32 plus change. Not enough to get you a ticket of one of Bell's average concerts. You see, friends, there's a question for you and me here, isn't there? What's that? In all our busyness, especially in this time of year, are you and I listening to what really matters? Are we? And it's a question that the writer Luke here in these verses is asking of us, isn't it? Are you listening to Jesus? I mean, whatever you're doing right now, and to be honest, there's a lot to do, isn't there? I mean, think about it. It's a really busy time of the year. We're just over a week from Christmas. And in the middle of all those distractions, have you heard God speak to you? Have you reflected on His glorious beauty? What He's done in your life? Why He came? Because in these two verses, we see two very different people, don't we? What do we see? Well, the first person we see is like this. One's caught up in the distraction of doing great things, right? And then the second person, well, she's caught up in the presence of her great creator, isn't she? And friends, I think the message here is clear, isn't it? It's time to stop and to listen and reflect on Jesus and his plans and his purpose for you. Got that? See, friends, these two people will show us two very important things. And the first is this, listen up. There are good things which can distract us from what we need most. Good things that are distracting us from the best things, right? And so I want to start with our friend Martha here. Because, I mean, what do we know from her in these verses? Have a look. Have a look at your Bibles. Verse 38, we see that she's hospitable. She's warm. She's welcoming. I mean, friends, I don't want us to miss what Martha is doing here, right? Because she's doing a great act of service. I mean, think about it. Jesus and his disciples, a group of 13 men, basically, you know, random people in many senses. In the previous chapter, in chapter 9, verse 6, if you want to flick back to it, what are they doing? They're traveling, right? From one village to the other, preaching the gospel, healing people everywhere. And so what happens is they come to Mary's place, right? And she just opens her home up to Jesus and his friends, doesn't she? I mean, what are we looking at? Isn't this a picture of love and trust? It is, isn't it? She's saying, Jesus, come into my home. And you know, she gets who Jesus is, right? Let's not be mistaken. Martha actually knows who Jesus is. Because, and how do we know that? Well, have a look at verse 40. How does she address Jesus in verse 40? She addresses him as Lord, doesn't she? So she gets that Jesus is special, that he is unique. And she gets that he's not just some, you know, strange teacher that's wandering around. She sees him as the Messiah, as the Lord who's come into this world. Do you see that? So my question is this. Where did Martha go wrong? Well, firstly, in two ways. Firstly, she's distracted. You can see that in verse 40. Have a look. What's she distracted by? She's distracted by all the preparations, right? That's the first thing that you see. And then the second thing, what's that? Verse 41. And this is really important, so listen up. All those distractions were making her anxious. They were robbing her of her peace, right? I mean, what was happening here? What was happening is this. Martha was so focused on what she could offer Jesus that she completely forgot what Jesus was actually offering her, right? And what was that? It was time in his presence. It was him speaking his truth into her life. You see that? I don't know how you feel about it, but life just seems to get faster and faster every year, don't you think? I mean, there's always a million things to do, and there's just never enough time to do it. And for me, anyway, I feel this kind of low buzzing hum that's just constantly in the background. I'm sure you feel it too. You see, friends, some recent research is really confronting. Let me share this with you. It says this. It shows that anxiety is a real concern in our society, in our communities. Because between 2008 and 2015, so only a period of 7 years, the Murdoch Children's Institute showed that anxiety diagnoses in children and in adolescents, what happened? They doubled in that period. You believe it? So principals of schools and doctors and psychologists, they're all telling us the same thing, right? That anxiety is an issue. I mean, just think about it for your own life. Think about it. Think of all the different things and different platforms that you might need to keep across, whether it's WhatsApp or Instagram. I mean, a few years ago, it was just text and email. But if you're younger, there's Snapchat, there's YouTube, there's LinkedIn. If you're a professional, there's WeChat. If you've got friends in China, there's Facebook Messenger. I mean, forget about actually keeping up. Just thinking about keeping up completely stresses me out. But that's not just it, is it? I mean, think about all the other worries that are in the background. Worries about education. Worries about being competitive and staying competitive. I mean, think about a world that's changing socially and environmentally. Climate change. And then all the day-to-day questions. How am I ever going to buy a home if you're younger? And now if I've got a home, how am I going to keep on paying it off? Is my job secure? That's a question if you're young or old that you're probably asking. Am I going to get left behind? Maybe I need to upskill. And if you're single, am I going to get married? And if you've got a partner or a husband or wife already, am I going to be able to have kids? Can I afford their education? And the list, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? I mean, friends, these are all real and important questions. Let's not kid ourselves. But the question is this. Have these questions begun to overwhelm us? Have they started to add to this low-level hum that's in our lives? Are our worries and our anxieties just chipping away at our joy and our peace? Are they? And even if these things, or these kind of day-to-day things aren't worrying us, maybe we're a bit like Martha, right? Maybe we're worrying about all those spiritual things. Have I done enough to serve God? Whatever that question means. Does God want me here or there? Does he want me in this job or that one? Do I need to spend more time doing church activities? Did I hit my KPIs this year? Did I attend more than 90% or my small group meetups this year? Is this the year that I start a bit of part-time study or full-time study? And again, friends, these questions, they're real questions and they're very important. But that's not the point, right? What's the point? Are they overwhelming you and distracting you from missing out on what you need most? Are you living like Martha? Yes? No? So friends, what do we need most? This is what we need most. You heard it before. It's time in God's presence. Because there's power in his presence, right? I mean, think about it. God wants us to still our souls and to just rest in his presence, to hear him speak to us, right? To meditate on his greatness, to see with our hearts and our minds that in all this confusion and in all this conflict that's around us, in all the stresses and all the frustrations of ministry and service, that God, you're in control and you're speaking. You with me? And you know what? What's the response? God, I'm ready to listen. And friends, it's pretty simple, but that's exactly what Mary recognized in these verses, right? Have a look at verse 39. Verse 39, Mary does this. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. You see that? I mean, from the outside, Mary's looking pretty unproductive, isn't she? You agree? And I kind of get Martha's reaction. I mean, she's running around trying to make everyone feel welcome in their home. And so what happens is she gets pretty passive-aggressive in verse 40, can't you? I mean, just have a look at what happens in verse 40. She says this, right? See how she's talking about her sister in the third person? Doesn't address her sister. She says, Lord Jesus, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Hear the frustration? Tell her to get off her bottom and help me. Literally. And so what's Jesus' response? Listen to what he says. Martha, you know what? You're worried and you're distracted about many things, but you're missing the most important thing here. You're caught up in what you're doing for me. Yes? But Mary, you know what she's doing? She's caught up in what I'm doing for her as I speak into her life right now. You see that? So in other words, stop thinking about what you're doing with your life first and start thinking about what I'm doing in your life. You see, friends, here's the truth. Listen up. The Christian faith is about being before it's about doing. You hear me? I mean, it's about what God has done for us before it's what we can do for Him, yes? It's about His love for us before it's about our love for Him. And just to put it simply, it's this, that beholding is becoming. What do I mean by that? That when you behold God in all His glory, in His presence, that's when, my friends, you tap into His greatness and you become the person that He's made you to be. And not the other way around. Yes? And that's exactly what Mary was doing. I mean, so often we do all the things that we do. Let's be honest. We do so many things in our lives because we're driven by what others think if we don't. True? We're driven and motivated by the expectations of others, right? We don't want to admit it, but I believe that's true. But Mary? No. She's in the presence of greatness. And you know what? She doesn't care what other people think. She's listening to Jesus. That's what she's doing. Even if it looks unproductive on the outside. You see, there's a pastor in the US, and you've probably heard of him before, Pastor Tim Keller. He talks about the freedom of self-forgetfulness. And I'm going to explain that, but he's really picking up on the author C.S. Lewis here. And he says this, listen, that you're hearing God's truth and you're tapping into His freedom that comes from the gospel when you realize this. That it's not about thinking more of yourself or thinking less of yourself. It's simply thinking about yourself less. You with me? We get it, that when we hear Jesus' voice in our lives, we finally realize that the heart of the Christian faith isn't ultimately about us and what we've done and what we're doing, but it's about what God has done for us and in us. And when we get that, what happens? We stop being motivated by the expectations of others, right? We're freed from the fear and the shame and the embarrassment that drives so many of us. And what do we find instead? We find real freedom, real joy, and real peace, just like Mary did. Because that's why there's real power in His presence. You see, if you've been following what's been going on in Hong Kong recently, it's been pretty full on, right? But I remember being in Hong Kong during my uni days, so many years ago, when things were a lot quieter and simpler. And I remember standing in the middle of the MTR station in Peacock. And if you haven't been to Hong Kong before, I'm sure many of you have been to Hong Kong, but if you haven't been to Hong Kong before, it's basically like Chatswood. You know, lots and lots of Asian people, but on steroids, right? It's so busy. And my sister and I were just standing literally in the middle of the station, standing close to each other. And people were just passing left, right, and center, pushing past us. And it was so stressful, right? It was chaotic. See, friends, I feel like that my life is like that sometimes. I wonder if it's the same for you. And all of that just adds to that low-level stress that's just sitting underneath that no one else sees, but it's there. All those niggling frustrations that don't seem to get resolved and they keep chipping away, and I'm sure you feel the same way as I look around the room. Because even with all these little things, you're thinking about them, right? Even when you're not actually trying to think about them. But you see, friends, for me, God started really confronting me on this a couple of weeks ago. And what happened was I felt He was saying to me, Justin, you just need to stop and you need to listen and you need to reflect. Because what happened was 2 weeks ago, a few things stopped me in my tracks. We had a friend who lost her baby at 29 weeks, ready to give birth in a few weeks' time and lost their baby. Had another friend who was a father of three. Had a brain hemorrhage at the gym. He's one of the healthiest people I've ever seen. And he's got three kids at the moment, and he's trying to get that recovery that he needs so he can get back to his family. And then just another week or so ago, we had another friend who had a heart attack on his driveway. Just like that, he didn't make it. He had 2 kids under 6. And then we were involved in the car accident, but the car was written off. My 2 kids were in the back at the time. I saw it happening in front of my eyes. And you see, friends, it's times like this that I'm reminded that life is so short, isn't it? It's short. I mean, 1 minute, everything is just going so well. And then all of a sudden, it can just fall apart. And I feel like for me, God is asking me during those times, who and what are you living for? Who and what are you really living for? I mean, forget what you tell yourself and forget what you tell others. Ask yourself that question. Are you really living for Him? Are you? Are you listening to His voice every time you open this Bible, these words? And is He calling you to stop and to see with the eyes of your heart the reality of His presence in your life? And whatever you're going through, is He saying to you, are you hearing His voice? Friend, my sister, my brother, my daughter, my son, you're not alone. I am with you. Yeah, that's why He came that first Christmas, right? We saw that in the video. That He stepped into this world, He stepped into your life to bridge that great eternal gap between you and me. He's to be born as a child into poverty, into isolation, into fear, into humility, to rescue you from what? To rescue you from what you need most, your sins, forgiveness for your sins, and to bring you into relationship with Him, to free you from all those little things that you know in your heart that have a hold on you, to die in your place on the cross, to bring you hope of eternal life to come. Friends, I mentioned my parents-in-law earlier, who used to come here. They're not here anymore. Why? Because they're in the home of the eternal presence of their God who loves them. And from there, it's almost as if I hear them every day telling me, reminding me, Justin, keep hearing God speak to you. And keep hearing Him remind you of this, that God is your Father, that Jesus is your brother, and that heaven is your home. And friends, I believe that's what God wants to remind you of today. So are you ready to be still? Are you ready to behold God in His presence and to ask Jesus to speak His voice straight into your heart? Are you ready to be reminded of what really matters as you celebrate this Christmas? To look forward to the hope that you have in your eternal home, to make Him your vision, to make Him the Lord of your heart. You ready for that? So friends, how about we do that and we ask Him in prayer? Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we just want to thank You so much that You have helped us stop and to listen to You. Father, thank You so much that You've been so patient with us. We've wandered far away, and yet You have brought us back to Your feet to hear You speak. And just remind us of what such a loving and wonderful God You are, that You should come all the way from heaven to be with us, that You should die on the cross, and that You should rise to life to give us an eternal home to look forward to. And Father, as we wait and as we trust in You now, we pray that every day will be a day where we have time to spend in Your presence, delighting in You, delighting in the salvation that You've given us, and rejoicing in the hope to come. And during this Christmas, help us remember You and make it all about You. And as we plan for the year ahead, Lord, let us not plan without you, but plan with you at the center, knowing that you've done everything for us and have given us everything that we need. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.